It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 9 o'clock. That means none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is back on the docket. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I just had a fascinating discussion with a wonderful woman who's talking about money, May Day money in Chicago. They're going to have a great rally this weekend about the money system, the monetary system in this country, and all of the faux pas of it that we just don't know about. And the fact that we continue to suffer the way we do because of a monetary system that we as Americans trust but really don't know anything about. So it was a fascinating conversation. But Dr. Craig, I want to talk today with you more and spend more time on local politics and Wisconsin State Session on Evers' vetoes. He vetoed, you know, 36, the Wisconsin Senate was scheduled to consider overturning nearly 36 of Governor Evers' vetoes, but managed to override only 9 before the rejection of a Democratic resolution developed into a shouting match and sent the floor session to an abrupt adjournment. Now, you know, Dr. Craig, most of us don't know much about these proposed bills and what the impact of them are in our lives. But there's certainly a perspective from the Republican side and one from the Democratic side. And Governor Evers has the power that was given to him, not first, it was given to Governor Scott Walker by the Republican Party. And I think, Dr. Craig, they never even dreamt that that power would eventually go to some Democratic governor. And now they don't know how to handle that. They're beside themselves. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of some of these bills that, you know, Governor Evers, proposed, you know, and I mean, vetoed, and now Republicans seek to override, you know, issues with the PFAS mitigation funding. And everybody's talking about that, Dr. Craig. Who would be opposed to, you know, fixing this issue that poisons and impacts so many people in the state, both Democrats and Republicans? Why would you play games and tricks with that, Dr. Craig?
Yeah, and just broader perspective, there's an override majority, an artificial one because of the gerrymandered maps in the Senate. This is a 50-50 state. There shouldn't be a party that has such a big majority can override a governor, actually. But they do in the Senate, not in the Assembly, unless they, and both houses have to override a veto in order to make it law, unless they pull shenanigans like call a rapid session when a couple Democrats are out of commission, maybe someone is unexpectedly in the hospital or something, then they could potentially override vetoes. But this is probably just for show. In fact, Democrats in the assembly have had to make sure they have enough people near the Capitol at one time, just in case the Republicans try to pull shenanigans, because they're capable of this, because they'll do anything to get their way. But you're right. The governor has a veto authority. And so what is that supposed to do? Constitutionally, it's supposed to mean that the legislature actually works with the governor in order to find common ground. But this legislature, it's our road or the highway. And they have they have no shame about the fact that their huge majority is not based on what voters wanted. It's based on the way they drew the map. So that's all beginning to change in the next session. You brought up the PFAS, the forever chemicals. These are a huge danger. We have all this new science that says that we're all carrying them around, and they threaten, raise the risk of cancer and leukemia and other diseases. And there are a lot of folks spewing them into our water into our water supplies. And so what the Clean Air and the Clean Water Act were supposed to do was to make sure when you had new threats, the administrative agencies had the ability to adapt and protect us from them, to clean up the PFAS, force those who put them into our waterways and into our groundwater to clean them up and to prevent the continuation of it. Well, Republicans are very closely connected to polluters. Polluters lobby hard. That's where they get a lot of campaign contributions. So they had a PFAS trust fund. So it sounds like they're for doing something, Earl. But it was full of provisions that prevented landowners from being accountable for the PFAS they produce, or even being prevented from releasing them anymore. So Governor Reeves vetoed it on the grounds that it actually didn't protect people. It just seemed to protect people, that it was a bait and switch. Actually, and it also limited the DNR's authority in other ways, the Department of Natural Resources, the state agency. Actually, the DNR needs all the authority and funding it could possibly use in order to protect us from PFAS, because the public wants us protected and doesn't think someone has a right to profit by poisoning their fellow citizens. Republicans won't say that in the floor debates, but that's their position.
You know, Dr. Craig, the insanity in this is there's $125 million that is already there set aside to address this serious issue, and we can't get that taken care of because Republicans aren't going to get it the way they want it. So it is critical.
They want to protect polluters.
Yes.
They want to protect polluters. That's not what they're saying. Now they're going to run around and campaign and claim the governor vetoed our PFAS bill. So we're the ones who want to do something on PFAS. And that's one of the threats to democracy, is this say anything propaganda where you will do one thing and claim it's the other. Remember, I think there was a Clean Skies bill or initiative that George W. Bush had that actually was a pro-pollution bill. But they figured if you called it Clean Skies, then it would seem like it was anti-pollution.
You know, Dr. Craig, rural hospitals are shutting down. And so people who live in those areas are left in the lurch. And they're wondering who's going to come to our rescue. Governor Evers has offered some financial support for those hospitals, Dr. Craig. Who could be opposed to that? And yet Republicans somehow don't like the way the money is going to be spent. They want it spent their way on emergency rooms, but not to allow the hospitals to function. Dr. Craig, I mean, I don't know if rural people in the state really know the truth about the things that are going on. And one of the reasons why it's so good to have you here is you can point out the deficiencies in the stories that are being told. So what is going on with the hospitals, the rural hospitals, Dr. Craig, and who's supporting them and who's not?
I'm going to have a little different take on this one. Because we're very involved in this issue. We have members up in the Chippewa Valley in northwestern Wisconsin, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls region. And so what happened is, one of the hospital chains abruptly left the area and closed two hospitals and 90 clinics that were part of that system, the Privia Clinics, Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire, and another big hospital in Chippewa Falls. The fundamental cause, the root cause of this is that we have massive predatory competition going on between huge hospital monopolies, growing monopolies, and the bigger chains are putting the smaller chains out of business. Kind of like Walmart putting Shopko out of business, or your local stores near downtown being gutted by the Walmart planet at the edge of town, and because they have unfair advantages. Now, the hospitals got themselves deregulated in the 80s. So the root cause of this is the money grab by the ever bigger and bigger hospitals.
Right.
Okay. So Governor Evers is the $15 million without strings attached would help, because there's a huge hole in the healthcare safety net now. The hospitals that are closing were doing the less profitable care, like the mental health and the primary care that Mayo and Marshfield and Oakleaf Clinic, another for-profit enterprise, they just tried to came and glommed off all the very profitable cancer services and advanced care. So that helped and fatten their bottom line, but it undermined the smaller health system. And so the $15 million is a Band-Aid. The dispute is even smaller than that. The Republicans are targeted for only certain things, when in fact it's very unclear that they have any basis for that. So Governor Evers wants it to be just generally what is useful. But both parties up to now have now offered real upstream solutions, get to causes. They're dealing with symptoms, and $15 million isn't very much when you think about how the cost of healthcare and its provision. So Governor Evers is right, but it's a question of which Band-Aid is better. I can't say what the details are, but on Friday, I'll be in Eau Claire and announcing with Senator Jeff Smith, who's quoted in the articles on this issue, offering some much more fundamental solutions to the hospital crisis, because it's going to come to other areas of the state. The hospitals and the huge ones and their grab for more and more money have created a very unstable situation for provision of health care in the state of Wisconsin and around the country.
You know, Dr. Craig, I was going to ask you if you had some solutions, some ideas, because clearly they are needed, and this back and forth is not the answer. On the other side, Dr. Robert Craig will respond to that. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK here in Waukesha and Civic Media. All right. Welcome back to Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you. So Dr. Craig, you would think that knowing the suffering of the people of the state of Wisconsin, knowing how critically important hospitals are, who could play politics with that? What is the solution? I mean, for-profit hospitals. I think there was a time, maybe I'm, mistaken, but I do recall a time when there were so many hospitals around and profit wasn't the bottom line. But these major hospitals, I was talking about this the other day, Dr. Craig, in Milwaukee, there's one that the expansion of what they are doing is just unbelievable. No small hospital can compete on a for-profit level, Dr. Craig, with these major behemoths that are where they are. What is the answer? What is the solution?
Well, you're completely right, Earl, that originally hospitals were built as charities. I mean,
yes,
quite literally in some cases, by nuns taking a vow of charity, the ones that were built up at Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, the nuns refused to receive any payment and receive food in order to keep going as they raised money to create the hospitals. So that was what hospitals were. They really were charitable enterprises. They have become nonprofit in name only. They're not taxed. They're not on the property tax rolls because they're supposed to be fulfilling a charitable function, when in fact they simply seek revenue, and they've become larger and larger monopoly chains that have taken each other over and undermined each other. And they also have sought where the profit is. In Milwaukee, you have all these fancy new hospitals out in the suburbs and exurbs where more people who have private insurance are, and they're abandoning the city where the folks with much more health conditions, because poverty causes health conditions, live. They're disinvesting and pulling up stakes. And so that's not a charitable enterprise. A charity would do the opposite, and all the new gleaming hospitals would be in the city of Milwaukee, not out in the healthier and richer exurbs. And of course, there's a racial component to that because of segregation, Earl, as you know. And that same thing's happening to rural areas, where rural areas are not getting investment because they're less profitable. So rural folks who are concerned about the, you know, cities getting everything, you at the rural area communities and the urban communities are both suffering under this. And the fundamental driver, Earl, is that you need to be big now in order to gain the most profit. So the reason the hospitals keep combining, you know, Baylin and Gundersen Lutheran combined, Aurora combined with the Chicago Health System, Advocate, and then they both combined with a big North Carolina one that's even bigger than the two of them were. Freighter combined with Theta Care, a Fox Valley-based health system. This goes on and on, is because if you're bigger, you can demand bigger rates from the big insurance companies. What do the insurance companies do to try to counter that? They keep getting bigger to try to have bargaining leverage. Now, by the way, that just raises all of our rates. That's why you have all those extra co-pays and deductibles. The insurance companies are deciding how to pass the cost on to you that's being brought to them by these huge hospital monopolies. And they get cheaper prices on medical supplies substantially. And in addition, they have the money to get the specialists and the specialty units that are the most profitable, so they undermine the other hospitals who can't provide the service. If you ever want a great guest, Brian Alexander, the journalist, did a great book a couple of years ago called The Hospital, about the history and travails of one community hospital in northwestern Ohio. And he in that book, it's a brilliant narrative. He outlines this whole situation. The only solution is, you know, hospital rates aren't regulated. Utility rates are. We talk about We Energies and the other utilities demanding big rate increases, and they have too much influence over that, but they have to get permission. There's no permission at all. When they build a whole new big specialty unit, no permission is required. And here's the key thing. They profit from people being already sick and having complicated conditions. They don't make much profit by keeping people healthy. In fact, we would save a ton of money if we reverse the incentives and actually kept people healthy, so we have less cancers, less lung disease, all of that. And that is why healthcare is so expensive, they've set themselves up to wait for us to be sick and then to make massive profits off of it. It's a completely dysfunctional, unaffordable system.
But you know, Dr. Craig, I always say this, and nobody knows it better than you. The hospitals can't do this unilaterally. They are given, the elected officials make it possible for them to do this to us. They make the laws. They control what they can and cannot do, and they choose not to regulate them because of lobbyists who control the. How do we get beyond that, Dr. Craig?
By joining groups like this in action and defeating them, by more people knowing and more people staying together and putting pressure on the system. In the 80s, the Hospital Association is maybe the most powerful lobby in the Capitol, which means their voice is much heard much louder than average people.
Their pockets are deeper.
Into voluntary groups, right? Because we won't be heard. And in the 80s, they came and sold the legislature and Governor Thompson the bill of goods. That if you regulate us, market competition will take care of everything. It'll be efficient. It'll be more affordable. Trust us. No one seems to remember that now. And they've created this disaster. And the amazing thing about the crisis in the Chippewa Valley is up until what's going to come Friday with the press conference we'll have with Jeff Smith, no one's been pointing the finger at the culprit. And so the fight's been a partisan fight between Governor Evers and the Republicans about how to spend $15 million, which is
peanuts.
Not a fundamental issue and is a Band-Aid. And so I got to say, the Republicans are worse on this, but Governor Evers needs to step up and name culprits as well, which he has yet to do. So we're going to begin that process on Friday. It's been a couple months to set this up and to, but we're hoping a lot of people in the Chippewa Valley and elsewhere will join us in the fight to hold hospitals accountable.
You know, Dr. Craig, with an aging population, baby boomers, you know, so many of us, you know, aging and going to need that. This is a critically important time, right? That this should not be happening and that this should be prioritized as something that's critically important to get taken care of. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah. And it's totally, we're told one of the big lies is it's not possible. There's nothing we can do, right? The country of Costa Rica, country that is much poorer than us, they have a system that emphasizes prevention and primary care. They have a higher life expectancy than we do, and they haven't built the big expensive hospital system we have because they don't need it. So that's the cautionary note. We need to invest this massively in public health, and it's not being proposed right now because the voters have been told that we have to have.
All right. Up next with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director in Citizen Action, K-12 education, Dr. Craig, on the Earl Ingram Show. Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, education. And the fact that we have a governor who understands public education. He was once the state superintendent of education in the state, and very few, I think, understand education as well as Governor Evers. But Dr. Craig, you know, I do understand for those who want to push for, you know, private voucher education and why they do and why they think public education, you know, is something that we've gone beyond. But why is it that Dr. Craig, that Governor Evers has to sue the legislature to get them to understand, you know, how K-12 literacy. What could be more important in educating the masses of the students, Dr. Craig, in a society? What I don't understand, again, although I do, but you can explain it better. You know, I'll say it's got everything to do with people looking to privatize and make money off of education. But you look at nations like, you know, China, Dr. Craig, who at one point in time had an illiterate populace and realized the importance of educating the masses of their people, and look at them now. You know, you could say that about Cuba under Castro. There was a time when the Cubans were all illiterate. He understood the importance of educating the masses of the people. Why are we having such a hard time in this country, Dr. Craig, with that? With global competition, if we don't get this fixed and worked out, our nation faces, unfortunately, a terrible future with a global, with global competition.
In many ways, Earl, it's a failure to understand what made the United States prosperous in the first place. And because we were the first country in the world with universal free primary and secondary education. And one of the reasons for our rise to a superpower was how much better educated our workforce was and our citizens were than the rest of the world. And we have flittered that away over the last 50 years because of this propaganda that somehow we need to give massive tax breaks to corporations and wealthy people that already are doing the best in our society and getting most economic gains. And that what that ends up doing is defunding public education. But the people who are doing that claim they're for public education. They muddy the waters. And I think the problem with advocates can be, like Governor Evers, that they don't ask for enough. Education needs a massive increase in funding. And Governor Evers settled for a very ruinous compromise with Republicans that gave a lot more to voucher schools than public schools. And so he didn't fight. He has a lot of power to fight. And the public would have been with him, but he doesn't want to have that fight because he thinks his brand is bipartisan compromise. Well, I'm sorry, the brand has to go if it comes to defending our children. But he's very right in this case at the more granular level. The legislature, the governor, they agreed on funding for literacy education, and literacy is critical with evidence-based methodologies. And the Republicans, because they grab all power they can, Joint Finance Committee is holding up the money. And so that's why Governor Evers is suing them. He's right to do so. But I don't want to give anyone the impression that this funding is all that is needed to repair the chronic underfunding of schools for quite some time now, especially since we get the gerrymandered legislature. We need to make them whole, and we need to actually, we like to run around saying that we want every kid in Wisconsin to have a first-class education. I'm sorry, the Milwaukee Public Schools, which is our biggest school system and the poorest, and it is mostly black and brown kids who need more help to have opportunity. The school buildings were over 80 years old on average. You see all the gleaming new schools out in the suburbs, Earl, that are always going up, right?
Oh, yes.
And they have, of what they can count, $500 million in deferred maintenance. So the kids have inferior learning environment, and they're surrounded by acres of concrete when we know that natural settings are much better for kids' education. In fact, there's a new study that came out this week that found that there's an epidemic of nearsightedness among young people because they're on their phone devices so much. And if they're outside 2 hours a day, then that mitigates against the increased nearsightedness. So we're creating a generation of nearsighted people for lack of opportunities, say having nice natural areas where you can hold classes and have the kids outside a lot more that black and brown kids don't get for MPS. So we need a lot more, but the governor is correct that the legislature will do anything to block him. And really what I think it is, Earl, is there's a conspiracy to undermine public education. It's not popular, but it needs to be clearly explained to people so they understand which side is for public education and which is against it. And we need to embolden that side that's for it to do what's necessary for our kids, not just what is currently, not work within the current limits of a broken system.
You know, Dr. Craig, it's no secret. Early childhood is is one of the best indicators of preparing children to be successful. Governor Evers, budgeted $50 million. Still a mere pittance, as you stated, from the budget, from the state budget. But we can't even get that through. And this is an issue, the educational problem across the entire state, rural Wisconsin as well. Public education is under assault. And so, people in rural areas should as well understand what the battle and what the fight is about, because they're not just going after public education in urban areas. It's all over the state. When I talked to your brother, Ted, and others about it, they clearly explain what's at stake. And I don't know why, Dr. Craig, we can't get enough people to understand that if we don't fight this battle, all the other battles we're talking about will mean not much, Dr. Craig, if we don't prepare younger people to be successful.
You can tell kind of the lack of interest in education. There's all this magical thinking that you can do more with less. We don't say that with our military. We don't say that when we expand highways, right? Whole interchanges. And we have all these explanations why we need CEOs that make tens of millions of dollars, or executives of institutions like hospitals, that we need to pay for the best. Except when it comes to education, no, it's not true. And there's been this shift in public policy that I don't think was ever agreed to by the public. So this is a threat to democracy as well. The polling continues to show that it's far more popular to fund and improve funding public education than to have tax cuts for rich people. But the Republicans march up and offer tax cuts for rich people constantly, who are already doing the best in our society, have done better than everyone else, gotten most of the economic gain over the last 50 years because they rigged the economy in favor of themselves and against the rest of us.
You know, Dr. Craig, you talk about, and you keep talking constantly, you keep saying and pointing to the same thing, that there's this attack on the people in this country by their own countrymen, by their fellow countrymen, not somebody from outside of our border. They've got us concentrating on the people coming from Mexico, from Guatemala, and from Central America, and they're the number one threat to the American people. No, they're not. There's a segment of the people in this country who have it financially, who don't want to share, and who really don't care about their fellow countrymen, Dr. Craig. And those of us who are the everyday citizens who are fighting and struggling to keep food on the table, we don't understand that our fight is the same fight with those in rural Wisconsin, those of us in the city. And you guys are fighting. How do we get that message? How do we overcome that, this, I guess, lack of understanding of who the enemy really is towards the average, everyday working American citizen?
It's easy to get lied to if your source of information is electronic, television, radio, social media. We need more people actively involved. And that's what also builds power and changes things. That's the essence of democracy, is people being involved directly in groups of other like-minded people to do things. And you're so right about immigrants. Immigrants are expressing the frontier and entrepreneurial spirit that made the country great, because we're a nation of immigrants and people who are willing to come and work hard and weren't expecting special favors. That's who they still are, even if they're from Central America
right.
Instead of from Europe. It's the same thing. What's changed is people who want intergenerational wealth and want to be guaranteed it and don't want to have to work for it and don't want to share the wealth with everyone else to pay it forward. and create more prosperity for everything else. Public schools are one of the fundamentally building blocks of a democratic society because everyone has access to it, and you become a community because you go to school with everyone else, right? And so that is part of the attack on democracy, is the attack on public education. And that includes college education, which for a lot of professions is a necessity, and you benefit from having more people who are highly educated, where it used to be nearly free in the 60s, public education, and was still very affordable into the 80s. And that's been undercut step by step by step as we've put money into weapons and prisons. And big unnecessary highways.
You know, Dr. Craig, and this is kind of the way I see it. You know, as my generation ages, and we can look back at how things were when we were young, we understand the changes that have taken place, and not for the betterment of the American people. Those of my generation see that. Because as you stated, college was affordable. You could finish college and not owe a ransom that people owe today that they never get out from under that debt. Can you imagine? Well, you do. You're a college-educated guy. But can you imagine people graduating from college, Dr. Craig, owing $100,000. How do you can't pay off $25,000 in credit card debt maybe for your entire life. How are you possibly going to pay off $100,000 of educational debt? You know, we got to take a short hiatus. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Like the boomerang. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with Dr. Robert Craig. Dr. Craig, how do you keep your head up, man? Yeah, how do you keep this fight up when you see, you know, you're fighting Goliath, and you always say, and I'm so respectful of you because you always say the answer to this is getting more people. People power will somehow overcome, you know, the real power. The real power, I guess, basically, is still with the people, if the people only knew, right? And that's kind of what you shepherd. But sometimes it just seems so overwhelming. How do you keep your spirits and your head up?
It has to come down, I think, to a fundamental optimism or faith, Earl, because we know we've done better before and therefore we can do better in the future. And the surest way to lose is to be cynical about it and defeatist. So how does a sports team at any level break through years of mediocrity or poor play? You have to have that fundamental optimism that you can do it and you can break through. The peril of freedom, Earl, is that people have the freedom not to do things. So you can choose not to be involved in your local community. Fact of the matter is, we wouldn't have a democratic country and the world's first large-scale Republican form of government with representative government if we hadn't had a lot of people that that were banded together in civic groups that were working for things. And that's how they knew each other, and that's how they came together. And that's why it was possible to think about throwing off the tyranny of a king in the 18th century. And that's how it was possible to imagine overturning slavery, for example, or achieving civil rights, or achieving labor unions and 8-hour right. workday and workers' compensation in a number of states at $15 minimum wage, not in Wisconsin because they rigged the maps. Hopefully we can get it if now that we have maps where people who could run on the highly popular minimum wage issue can actually be elected. Though the governor has not proposed a $15 minimum wage in his budget, he's made it 11 or 12. We need to push him on that. So it comes down to, you have to have that fundamental optimism, but you also have to be serious about how to get it. And that means, since people can choose to be involved or choose not to be because they're free. Now, eventually you can choose your way out of freedom. That's what could possibly happen in this next election. But the fact of the matter is, we need to convince more people to play a role. And what you will find is there is a lot of depression out there because people are separated from each other right. and alienated. There's an epidemic of loneliness, right? So it's also better for you to be involved. And people are no longer members of churches nearly as much. Church going has declined dramatically. That was a source of community and involvement. So it makes it even more important that people be involved in civic activities if they're not deeply involved in their church anymore. And the biggest religion right now is the nuns. It's nearly 30%. And every major religion, even the fundamentalist religions that are behind Donald Trump and are making their last gas effort to be able to take power and impose their morality on us, they started to do that with the ban on abortion and the overturn of Roe versus Wade. Even they are in decline. They're just decline less than the more mainline and liberal religions. And so this is the only solution to the problems of democracy is more democracy, and that requires more people getting off the sidelines and being involved and joining groups like Citizen Action in Wisconsin. And we work on health care, climate change, and we win to elect people who will actually represent our interests.
Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, you're absolutely correct. It is an assault on the people of the state of Wisconsin, in fact, in the entire United States. And people have to get together, and they have to fight this, and they have to unite. And by uniting, we are so much stronger than our separate identities. I don't know if you're aware. Do you know that the civic radio station does not hit Kenosha anymore? I had to desperately try to get to you the past couple of days because all they're doing is playing music. Were you aware of that?
I don't know, but I will certainly, Calvin will check that out. We'll definitely check that out. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Well, I'm glad you're talking about unity. And we need people now to be more proactive than they ever was, because our Constitution, our laws, our justice system is totally under attack. And it's not by all Republicans, but it's by the majority of Republicans who are in total chaos. They can't even agree on a speaker for 5 days. That's how bad things are. And their best candidate is the biggest criminal that's ever tried to run for the office of president. Yesterday, I called Tom Tiffany, and I said, why do you refuse to sign the border agreement? It's what you wanted. Oh, I didn't refuse to sign it. It didn't come up in committee. These guys will lie to you and lie to you. And, Earl, thank God you and your crew is bringing this all to light, because it's getting serious now. The election's coming up. And, boy, if he gets in, I don't know how to have any optimistic outlook on
Hey,
that.
Bill, thank you very much, as always. You know, Dr. Craig, you don't expect, people to just lie, right? I mean, we tell our children about why you shouldn't lie, But when your elected officials have no problem lying higher up the ladder, you know, the only chance you have is to remove them, right?
Yes, we have to. It's amazing how many ways norms have gone out the window, right? Because, my God, we have the likely nominee of one political party who's one of the most serial liars ever that we've had in American history. And apparently the quote-unquote values party is fine with that. And a lot of the evangelical Christians who claim they're about values. So we got to cut it out.
Dr. Craig, always good to see you. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll see you next Wednesday, Dr. Craig. Thank you, Calvin, as always. Up next, Matt Nair on air. Greg Bach and Jane Matt Nair. See you guys.